Hey, I'm in Luke chapter 13. And you got to really listen to this. Read it real close and listen to this. Because if you miss this little part, you're going to miss the whole purpose. It's Luke 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, this is in red letters in my Bible, it said here, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, if you didn't pay attention to that, you're going to miss something. He looked at her and he said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Then he laid his hands on her. I like stuff like that. Father, if you'll touch us tonight, and I mean that sincerely, that's not just a bunch of words that I mean to say before I preach your gospel. I mean, if you'll just touch us tonight. If you'll just touch us tonight. Somebody that's been battling depression for 18 months can come out of it. Somebody that's been fighting sin for 18 years can come out of it. Somebody that maybe has had heart murmurs of sins in engulfing flame. For 18 long, God, you can touch us tonight and do something in this house. In the lovely name of Jesus, I ask it, amen. Well, you can be seated if you want to be. I'll tell you something. It's absolutely positively the will of God for every one of you inside this room to be completely free. It's the will of God. I mean, he really didn't send us to the house of God tonight for us to come in to a quiet building with a defeated kind of attitude, carrying an infirmity that's bigger than God is. He didn't intend for it to be that way. I know my wife, she has a physical illness. Unless God undertakes, she'll carry that crazy illness all the way to the grave. But I'm telling you, he can come into this room and with one touch, at one moment's time, you'll never have to deal with it again. Never have to deal with it. I've watched it. I've seen it. We had a lady that came to our church a while back, several months back. She stood up in the back of the church and she said, she didn't know how we do things. And she's from the Church of Christ. And she came in and she said, I'd like to say something, if I could. And I guess she could. It always makes me nervous, but I said, when I point at you, just say something. So I pointed at her that morning. She got up and she said, I want this to be my church. She said, I just want this. This is where I want to be. She said, I told my ladies in our Church of Christ Sunday meeting, she said, I'm leaving this church and I'm going to the Pentecost church. And they said, why, don't you know that all that music and all that loud emotion and excitement ain't right? And she said, it may not be right, but you can't tell me that being as dead as we are is right either. I wished you'd have seen her. She has an affliction. She has a handicap. I wished you'd seen her come out of that pew Sunday morning after my wife got through bringing everybody to their senses. I wished you'd have seen her come out and down that side wall. I wished you'd seen what the Holy Ghost looks like on an ex-Church of Christ lady. I wished you could have seen that. She didn't know what to do with her elbows, and she didn't know, and she's handicapped, so my wife went up and got her so she wouldn't end up in the floor. She didn't know what to do, but she knew she had to do something because she felt something. I'm telling you, that's the only difference between being dead and being alive. Them live folks, they feel something. I was at a funeral. I've been at funerals, seemed like the past two, seemed like every day, past several days. And every one of those funerals, I've noticed something. The guy in the casket did nothing. He just laid there. He never grinned. He never laughed. He never sung. He didn't even get in one single. The funeral Saturday, that young preacher boy laying there in the casket, his son got up a shouting, knocked the flowers over up front. I love stuff like that. The guy that preached the main message went shouting across the platform. I'm telling you, they were still alive and feeling something. This lady, for 18 years, bent over with some kind of affliction that she needed to get loose from. And I'm telling you, we got some folks, I believe, they feed their affliction. I think they like it. I think it becomes an excuse. Sometimes I think there's some folks that I believe if God healed them, it'd take away their excuse for not shouting. I'm just telling you, it's the will of God for Pentecostal folks to be touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have some kind of big a Christian New Life Center. You don't have to have 75 television cameras looking at you. You just got to be in a sanctified house where a great God cares about somebody that's been bent over for 18 years. And she was. But something was fixing to happen. I don't know what the affliction was. I don't know what the infirmity was. And I don't know you. I don't know what you brought in the house of God. There may be somebody sitting in this room tonight that has lived in a closet of depression for so long that you're not even sure if you're saved or not. Every time they open up a songbook and sing Victory in Jesus, you kind of dread it because you don't know if you've really got it or not. That's a binding influence of the devil that chooses to keep you bent over instead of standing up straight and looking at the victories in God. My wife battles an affliction. I told you that a little while ago. It's an affliction that she doesn't feel good of a morning. The steroids have to kick in. She has trouble thinking. Sometimes she has, and I'm not saying that to her a disadvantage. I'm just telling you how that disease works. And I'm telling you, she told me today that if she gave into that thing all the time she would have liked to, she would have never shouted off of an organ bench. She would have never let the power of God touch her. I'm just telling you something. I don't know what you carried into the church, but I know somebody that can straighten you up. I don't know if for 18 long years you've been bound to a needle. I don't know if you've been bound to pornography. I don't know if you've been bound to sins of the flesh. I ain't got the slightest idea. But hang on, happy camper. I'm going to tell you something. He ain't never had a revival service and met anybody that he couldn't change the way that they came through the door. Woo! And I'm telling you, he can change the way that you go out. Listen, this lady, for 18 long years, last time I was here, I didn't have to use glasses. Now I have to. And they get fogged up. And I can't see with them. And I can't see without them. Whoa! How long's it been since yours is fogged up? Hey, listen. For 18 years, she came down different times. But I'm going to show you something else about the little lady. Where some folks would have stayed home, she kept right on coming. Where some folks would have threw in the towel, she kept right on coming. Where some folks would have decided it's too hot, too cold, he preaches too loud, he's too smart, he's too ugly, he's too good, he's whatever. I'm telling you, she just kept right on coming. I know that for some people, you never get the fans just right. You never get the lights just right. You never get the Christmas decorations just right. You don't get the furnace just right. You don't get the temperature just right. You never get the volume just right. For some folks, you never pick the right singer. You never get the right preacher. They never get your favorite pet. I'm telling you how it is. This lady kept right on a coming. I know against a preacher. At times that she didn't agree with everything that was going on. Hey, well, but ain't you glad that someplace along the line you didn't quit? You stayed with it. She kept right on coming to the house of God. I've got some quitters at Calvary. I don't even know why some of them did. I had one family that sent me word. If I'd come and invite them back, they'd come. I haven't, because I never did know why they left. Don't look at me like that. If I could figure out why they left, I might go and ask them if they'd come back. But if it was over something that I'm preaching, whew, they probably wouldn't stay if they did come back. So I ain't going to wear either one of us out. This lady kept right on coming. She kept right on seeking. If you have to ride the altar all the way to heaven, get out of your pew and ride it. If you have to pray through every Sunday morning to keep the victory to shout Sunday night, get your hide in the altar. If you, whatever you have to do, don't quit on God. We're too close to the end. He's too close to coming. We're too close for the touch. Don't quit now. Listen, I'm not going to preach long. For 18 long years, this lady in a stooped over, very handicapped condition made her way to the church. And I'm going to tell you something else about the scripture. This is what it said. She could in no wise lift herself up. I don't want everybody shout at once, because you're going to ruin the message if you do. There wasn't a book she could buy. There wasn't a program she could watch. She couldn't put enough seed faith in the envelope and keep 6 missions going in Haiti. There was no way she could get herself up. She couldn't do it. Must have been to the point where she had tried. I read about one lady who tried many things and many physicians. She got worse. This lady very well may have jumped around to different churches, tried different preachers, done a whole number of things, but she could in no wise get herself up. Don't everybody get too loud, because you're going to ruin this great point. There's a few things that God's got to do for you, or it ain't going to get done. I know we can make ourselves look good. We can make ourselves smell good. We can make ourselves dress good. We can go to a good church that has a good history, that has a dynamite future. We can go where the pastor's wife lives right, where the pastor preaches right. We can do 1,000 things. But you can in no wise lift yourself up. There's going to have to come a time that you yield yourself to the touch of God. And when you get the touch of God, hey, I'm going to tell you, you won't look like you look because the pastor does. You'll look the way you look because you've been touched. Hey, you won't live like you live because they do. You'll live because you've been touched. I tell you, if the Calvary Pentecostal pastors, Tabernacles pastor, resigned next Sunday, it ain't going to affect the way I live, the way I act, and the way I look, because I've been touched. And that bird pastor in that church, he ain't got no patent on my life in the first place. If he packs up, leaves town, and they don't even ever hear of a Joy Hyde again in West Plains, I know what it's like to be touched. And that means I can feel him in Kansas on a Monday, Kentucky on a Tuesday, Ohio on a Wednesday. There ain't a time that you can't feel his touch once he's laid his hand on you. For 18 years, she came in to this temple setting, and she could not in any wise lift herself up. Jesus saw her in the condition that she was in. Here it is. He walked up to this bent over frame of a woman and said, "Woman, thou art loosed. Do what? You got to be joking. What did he just say? Woman, thou art loosed. Don't everybody shout. I read it to you. I told you if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss my message. Woman, yes, thou art loosed. But I'm not. Then the Bible said he laid his hands on her and he touched her and she straightened up. Don't miss this. Woman, thou art loosed. But she didn't look loosed. She didn't feel loosed. Take anybody standing around watching. She didn't look loosed. She was still bent over. And I'm fixing to tell you something right now. Are you listening to me? He's fixing to touch the infirmity in the next 30 seconds and straighten her up. He was talking to another problem right then. When he looked at her and said, woman, thou art loosed. He wasn't talking about her bent back. He wasn't talking about her sickness. He was talking about that spirit. That's what the Bible said had a hold of her. A spirit of infirmity. He looked at that spirit and said, woman, thou art loosed. When the spirit stepped back, he laid his hands on her. She stood up and looked him straight in the eye. I don't know. What's that got to do with me? I tell you what it's got to do with us. He spoke it before he ever touched her. She was fixing to get loose before she ever felt his hand move across and touch her forehead. He said, thou art loosed then. Thou art loosed then. He grabbed her. Thou art loosed then. He reached over and he touched her. So I got this figured out. We had his word before we ever felt his touch. Now listen, listen. Whoa! My God, we had his word before we felt the touch. I don't know if you felt anything in this service yet. I don't know if you felt anything when we were singing about the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you felt anything when we were talking about healing. I don't know if you felt anything when I was playing my saxophone. But I'm going to tell you this. Anybody that carried in a Bible has already carried in enough Word of God to run every binding spirit out of the house that made its way in this room. I'm telling you, just by coming into this church house with your Bible, I hear him say, thou art loosed, and I'm fixing to touch you. My God. I was in Virginia. The Lord, in the middle of a message, brought this message to my mind. And I weaved it together like a grandma who fixes her own quilts, piece by piece. When I got to this point, something came over me in that church that I'd never been in before. Congregation I'd never seen before. And this is what I said. I said, right now, in this house, we have the Word of God that you're to be healed. We have the Word of God. In fact, we got a Bible verse that said, he sent his Word and he healed them. I said, somebody in this church house right now that will obey God, the next thing you're going to feel is his touch. In the back of the house, there was a man from the Rich Lands Tabernacle. Didn't know where he was from. Didn't know his name from Adam. In the back of the house, a man sat on the back row. When I said that, I saw a cane come out in the aisle, come end over end over end. That guy reached out, threw that thing at me. Right down the aisle. Here it come. Landed up close to the front. I stood there, and I looked at it, And I waited to see what God was fixing to do, because I knew we already had His word on it. All we're waiting on is the touch. He's already said, I'm in your midst. He's already said, I'm where two or three is gathered together, I'm a standing there. So He's already got His word on it. He's in the house. He's in His service. He's in this room. All we're waiting on now is the touch. He threw that cane out in the aisle, threw it down at me. Here it come bounding. I stood there and looked at it a minute. He got up out of that seat, and he come and got it. And I said to myself, self, strange thing for a man to throw his cane at you, then get up and come down the aisle and get it and pick it up and go back down the aisle with it. But that's what he done. When he got to the back of the house, he turned around and he pitched it at me again. And he come and got it again. By this time, the church had gone completely ballistic. People was a-shouting. People was a-running. And I was trying to figure out if the guy in the back with the cane had it in for the night speaker. I mean, folks was a-shouting. In a little bit, the pastor said, I guess I ought to fill you in. He's filed for disability. He's not hardly been able to walk into church ever since the accident. This is the first time that anybody around here has seen him on his feet, walking without a limp, worshiping God. I'm telling you, we already had His word. All we were waiting for was the touch. I'm not a great faith healer. My wife's sick. I don't have oil that drops off of my hands. Sweat pretty heavy though, but I'm going to tell you something right now. In this house, I've got enough of the Word of God hid in my heart that I can stand here and tell you anybody that needs anything in this room can have it. All you got to do is allow Him to touch you. He's already told you that He wants you to have the Holy Ghost. Let Him touch you. He's already told you that He wants you to have the victory. Let Him touch you. That night at Mike Blue's, up in Ohio, they were very conservative. You know what I mean? I don't mean conservative. I mean very reserved. That's what I mean. Quiet. And quieter. And I was in revival with them. And they were already in a state of panic. I could tell. Even got a letter from some lady in the church. Said, Brother Hyde, I know that you feel like that you have to yell, but do you feel like that you have to? Yeah, I do. Just to save your postage. Yeah, I do. We're in this service. Things are going just about like usual. I come down off the platform. The choir was a-singing. The choir started leaving the platform. I met them and I said, sing it again. She said, we don't have another number. I said, sing the one you just sung. She said, we just sung it. I said, let's tear up the program. She said, we're singing that song again. She went singing it. Choir went to singing it. I heard this loud, funny, thuddy noise. It was Blue. Mike was a-shouting all over that side of the church. I said, oh, God, when you get the pastor into it, you're fixing to have something. I mean, I heard the office hollering and yelling behind me. I didn't even want to turn around to see what was going on. I was afraid they'd quit. I just stood there and let the touch of God start running through that house. In a little bit, a lady jumped up, ran to the front and said, I can't enjoy the service. My baby's got a high fever. I'm no great faith healer. I mean, I'm not a great, hey, I walked over there, and have you ever done anything and it surprised you? I went over there and laid my hands on the baby. She said, I felt the fever leave. So did I. I'm telling you, it surprised me so bad. I walked back up on the platform where Blue was at, and I said, you ain't gonna believe what just happened right over there. I'm the guy doing the preaching. God even surprised me Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you, we're in this house where God spoke. We had His Bible. We had His Word. We had His promise. And now we were feeling His touch. That's when the boy got up on crutches. Christy stepped out into the aisle on crutches and started coming toward the front. There's three layers to that church. It's like pancakes up there. You come up on one level, you come up on the next level. So at that moment, I was thankful that I was the evangelist, that Brother Blue was a pastor, because I knew this kid on crutches was coming to be prayed for. When he got down to the bottom of the lower level, he turned and he said, "Would some of you men stand me on top up there by the pulpit?" Some of them guys picked him up, stood him up there on the pulpit between me and Mike. This is when the kid done something that absolutely blew my mind. He took his crutches, he turned around, and he pitched them back down off that third level, way down there, too far for him to reach. And I was wondering, what are we going to do about them crutches? Don't look at me like that. Some of you sit in the very same services, and you've said they're much too bad to get saved. There ain't no way God can deliver them. We've sat in some of those very services. Well, that kid can't never get called to preach. He don't even know how. And all the time God was saying, "I've already sent my word. All I'm waiting on is to touch him." That boy leaned over and he said, "I have come tonight for my healing." Okay? Okay, oil. 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 You got oil. 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 Down here. Oil. Man, wear yourself out running around here looking for the oil. Oil. You hear me? Oil. I get the oil. I put it in my hand. Put some on Mike's hand. If I'm going down, we're going down together, Bubba. Put some on Mike's hand. Reached over and laid my hands on him. And before I could say anything, I felt his head slip out from underneath my hands. So I immediately said, "Oh, praise God. The Spirit has slain him here. And when he comes to, somebody can carry him his crutches. And everything will be all right." So I'm standing there with my eyes shut. And Mike comes up and taps me on the shoulder. And he says, "Look." And I look. The kid is running around that church house. I mean, he's running around that church house. And I can't even tell Mike. I can't hardly believe it. Because Mike's shouting again. I never seen a guy have such a revival on one night just because we sung a song again. Have you ever seen anything like it? I'm telling you, for 18 years, she had a problem. She came in contact with the Word, and the Word said, "Spirit of infirmity, you're going to turn her loose. You're going to turn her loose right now." And I'm going to tell you something. That same Word has promised the church that we are loosed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm telling you right now that all I'm waiting on is the touch. Since the Bible has already said there ain't a migraine headache, there ain't a migraine headache that can stand against him. You know what we was waiting on? Was the touch. And we got it. Since right now in this building, there's not a spirit of depression that God even recognizes as worthy of sitting on the board. He says, "You're loosed." There's not a sin. There's not a filthy, dirty, rotten habit. There's nothing sitting in this house that Bible hasn't already said. You're free. All you need is the touch. Praise the Lord, Brother Hyatt. I believe that I can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe you need to be touched. You'll stand up, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of the Lord gives you utterance. You're not going to get that touch at the water fountain. You're not going to get it by putting coke into the bathroom, if that's what it takes to get in there. You're not going to get it with a newspaper. You're not going to get it at the Christian bookstore. You're not going to get it sitting in that pew. You're not even going to get it agreeing with me. You're going to get it when you get close to where the Master is, so He can touch you. Wouldn't it be absolutely amazing if the whole reason we ended up at Wyandotte Tabernacle was because God was going to heal my wife before this week was over? Wouldn't it be the wildest thing? Hey, I don't know how this revival hardly worked out either. I just know that they thought it'd be a good idea, and he thought it'd be a good idea, and I thought it'd be a good idea, and I didn't give my church the option of wondering if it was a good idea. I just came on because I felt like it was a good idea. Are you listening? I just felt like it was a good idea. I got something else to do this month. Felt like it was a good idea. Got another place or two to go this year. Felt like it was a good idea. I don't go everywhere they call me. I don't take out every time they want me for a revival. I got to feel like it's a good idea. And I felt like this was. My God, wouldn't it be something? Right now while you're looking at me, I'm the guy that gets the touch. Woo! Hey, I've not come up here to preach you a five-night marathon. I haven't come up here to throw my name in the hat with other great preachers. I can't even begin to preach alongside him. But I tell you one thing I can do. I can read that Bible and I can lean back and say, touch me. Touch me. Touch me. Touch me. Touch me. I can do it. I can come into this church house stooped over and walk out standing straight because my goodness, somebody in this room that hasn't felt the power of the Holy Ghost in your life in 20 years can walk out of here straight and tall with a rebaptism of His power if you'll just get from where you are to where He is and let Him touch you. He's already said He'll do it. Whoa! Somebody in this room right here that hasn't felt the glory of God in a long time, whoa! You can feel it tonight! He already said we could! All we gotta do is get to where He's at. Are you telling me some young lady right now in this room can get up out of her seat, come up to the altar where the young ladies pray, throw herself at the mercy of God, and He can straighten out every bend and twist of her life? I'm telling you, we've already got the word that says He will. All we're waiting on you is to try it. Are you telling me that some husband and wife that's been having marriage trouble can step out, walk up to the front, lift their hands together, and have fresh revival in their marriage? I'm telling you, He's already said we can have it. All you got to do is let Him touch you. That's all we're waiting on now. We've got the word. We're waiting on the touch. That's all we're waiting on. Listen to me. Listen. I might should. And I do at home. But I don't make conventional altar calls. Are you here? Are you there? Could you raise your hand? Would you come? Would you? I don't hardly ever do that. My wife knows it. I've never done it. I don't make conventional altar calls. I'm making it right now. I'm telling you, there's somebody in this room that has already spoken. Anything and everything you need done, he's waiting on you to come up here and be touched. Somebody in this house that could just grab a little bit of faith, just a little bit. I'm not asking you to throw your crutches. I'm not asking you to throw your cane. I'm just asking you to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm just telling you that if somebody in this house will do what they feel like doing, he'll touch you again. I'm just telling you that somebody in this room, I'm telling you, the tears running out of that little girl's eye is real. Oh! The tears running out of that little girl's eyes, they're real. You know why? She must be feeling something. She must be feeling something. It's got to be the hand of the Lord. It's got to be the hand of the Lord. It's got to be the hand of the Lord. It's got to be the hand of the Lord. What would make a boy raise his hands and say hallelujah? What would make a man throw his hands up and look straight to God? It's got to be the hand of the Lord. Somebody. Oh! Somebody must be. Go ahead, Crystal. Seek the Lord, kiddo. Go ahead, mamas. Go ahead, daddies. Woo! We got four more nights. And the hand of God will roll through this place. Let this line get everything they need. So we can come back tomorrow night shouting through the gate. Hallelujah! What about it, fellas? What about it, boys? What makes a young man stand there and cry? What is it about a young lady that makes her stand there and rejoice?
Touch the
We ain't doing this for a show. We ain't doing this to attract attention. We're doing this because God's Bible said we could be free and have the victory. And all we're looking for right now is a touch. That's all we're looking for. That's all we're looking for.
Moment, your every need. this moment, you're